Good morning. Welcome to celebrate. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together and give our sound guy a hand for pushing the right button. Yes! Woo! Actually, they do a great job. Let's recite together the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are and what we believe at Celebration Church. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we go to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with grateful hearts, acknowledging that you are our creator, our sustainer, and our strength. Today we thank you, especially for the men who stepped away from the noise of daily life this last weekend to take part in our man's camp. Thank you for every conversation, every moment of honesty, every laugh around the fire, every quiet moment when hearts were open before you. What you began in those last days, Lord, we ask that you would continue to grow, that seeds of courage, humility, brotherhood, and faith would take deep root. And we pray now for all the men in our congregation. Strengthen them where they feel weary. Encourage them where they feel uncertain. Heal them where they carry wounds no one else can see. Lord, shape our men to be people of integrity, men who love their families well, men who lead with humility, men who listen before they speak, men who stand firm in faith even when life is difficult. For those carrying heavy burdens, give rest. For those facing temptations, give strength. For those who feel alone, provide community. For those searching for purpose, remind them that they are already called and already loved. Teach our men to walk closely with you, to trust you more deeply, and to reflect your character in their homes, workplaces, and friendships. And as a church family, help us to support one another, to build each other up, to speak truth with grace, and to walk together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We place all of this into your hands, confident that you who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. We pray this in the strong and faithful name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us this morning. We want to give a shout out and welcome to one of our newest members here at Celebration Church. His name is Liam Timothy Wessel. Where is Liam? There he is. We dedicated him into our covenant fellowship here at the church, along with Louis and Jessica, his parents. Thank God. That's one way to grow a church. Keep having babies. Amen. Amen. And I've said this before, it's been a long time. But anybody ever notice that the most stressed out women in the world have one, maybe two kids? Once you hit three or four more, peace in the valley. Just look around now. There's something about it. That extra one just, they give up. Okay, it'll be fine. The first one, you're freaking out every 10 minutes. Is he still breathing? You know, by the fourth one, he falls down the steps on fire. Put your brother out. Go outside. Quit bothering me. It's good for you. Have more babies. Amen. We had a great weekend with the men at the man camp. All the men said, amen. Yeah, thank you for that overwhelming amen. They're not all here yet. The silver's still hanging out up there. Greg Stubbe came in. He was a special speaker for last night, and he's going to be speaking to us this morning. We were talking last night, he and I, about John, the 13th chapter, verse 35. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And he was challenging us as men to break out of our manness and become vulnerable and get close to the people. And it's a great message for all of us. He's going to be sharing that this morning. You know, that's what changed the world. In the early church, I mean, they took the world. Here's a religion that never existed before. And all of a sudden, boom, brought the Roman Empire to its knees. How was that? Because they knew the Bible so well? No, they didn't have a Bible. Hadn't been written yet, so it was still being written at the time. And if they had one, they probably couldn't read it anyway. A lot of illiteracy. The power of God was in their midst, but the one thing that blew their minds is how much they loved each other. And it was such a testimony. As Jesus said, by this, everybody will know you're my disciple when you love one another. It can be hard. If it weren't for people, life would be easy. Amen. But give a good warm welcome to Greg as he comes to us this morning. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. How are you?
Morning.
It's good to be back in Green Bay.
Amen.
It is. Even when it's cold and snowy, it's warm in here. And I love coming back every time, and I keep meeting new people. This is a family to me. I'm definitely at home, and I thank you for having me. When you've heard me before, I usually talk about barriers to team dynamics. I usually talk about being a turd. Mm-hmm. The ways we judge each other unnecessarily, from petty little perceived differences instead of embracing our absolute commonalities. And I tried to fix that here by declaring Hug a Turd Day. Because if you see someone you think you don't like, it's probably because you don't know them well enough. Now, that's a barrier to the kind of team dynamic that we need to have in any walk of life, whether it's our family, our team at work, or our church family. Today, I really want to talk. I was compelled at Man Camp in a lot of ways. Ego had left the building, and humility took its place. And for me, in my history with men in the military, that just didn't happen very often. And it touched me. And it made me think more about love and what sets us apart in our belief in God. And you hear it so often that God is love. And when Pastor Mark shared this verse with me, this John 13:35, I want to read it again. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's how they will know. It's because we love one another and it shows. Have you ever loved someone, but they didn't know? Has anyone ever loved you, but you didn't know? I want to fix that because I want to be loved and I want to be strong enough to love you, whether or not you show me first. I want to be strong enough to love even when I don't feel like it. And that's tough. If you're married, you better. Be like Pastor Mark has always said, be nice to the girl. Go back for the girl. And boy, we should pay more attention to that. There's a word for this to me, but before I get into the root word of the conversation I want to have today, any team has certain roles that you play on that team. And I can whittle it down to four things that you can be on any given day as a part of a team. And it might be different today than it is tomorrow or the next day. But you can be a team leader. You can be a team builder, you can be a teammate, or you can be trouble. Yeah, you're either a team leader, a team builder, or a teammate. And if you're not one of those three things, the odds are it's not healthy for the dynamic. And if you have a negative connotation of your own role on the team and you develop a bad outlook and a bad attitude, it's not healthy for the team or for you. And so no one on the team should accept a role that is trouble or negative on the team, and we should never accept an identity like that. We should be seeking self-improvement to get better. There are ways to get better at this. And I think, so the Lady Tigers at LSU, they had a coach that turned everything around for them. And this coach, she gave three rules to the team. And it was such a short period of time. I'm not that big of a sports fan, but the story compelled me. In such a short period of time, these three basic rules for the team turned them into national champions, from what they considered to be losers to national champions, and I think a year. Now listen to these three rules, and it seems like basic stuff, right? It's not. Number one rule, respect each other. What does that mean? Well, it can start with something as simple as looking at whoever is talking to us. Let's start there and just show a basic level of respect by looking at whoever's talking. We're losing courtesies like that. Now, why would these rules be important for how we achieve closeness or a better dynamic as a team? Is it just for us to enjoy? No. We're supposed to be involved in ministry. We're supposed to bring other people closer to what we believe and what we know to be right. And it can be beautiful for them too. But are they going to be attracted to us as a team if we're not even courteous to each other? No, who wants to be on that team? And if you want the best people on your team, you might want to pay attention to these three rules, because our recruiting effort is often our own success or failure as an individual. It's not some bigger thing at play. You know, you can't blame the president on this one. No, we can try. And I mean whatever president's in office. Don't get sour on me now. Turds. But the second rule is be grateful to be together. And, you know, one small way to exercise that would be appear to be happy. Because if you don't even look happy, if you can't even appear to be grateful, no one's going to want to be here. The best people want to be on the best teams. And if God is love and we're about God, then when we love each other, it's going to be attractive to other people. And I don't know about you, I spent a lot of my life not willing to admit some of the things that I really need. But I've always been attracted to people who could be sincere. People who could tell the truth with me and be honest, even though they didn't know me. People who could achieve a closeness in a short period of time. And I even met a Canadian, believe it or not, that could do that. I did. Will you stand, my friend? Look at this guy. Yeah. He drives 1,100 miles to come to man camp every year. And I could see his heart from 100 yards away. Very successful in many ways. Highly intelligent. He's got it all going on. But he didn't feel a need to protect himself. He put himself out there in this intimate way. And I'll get more into that in a moment. He wouldn't want to be here if we didn't appear to be happy, if we couldn't at least look like we're grateful to be amongst each other and together. And the third rule is support each other. Support each other. Well, we all say that. Well, I've got your back. You know that, right? Well, what are we doing every day to create an environment, an atmosphere of support? How do we do that? And I think the entry-level action item for that is do something for someone today. And here's a better one. Do something for someone that's not in your inner circle. Do something for someone that last week you considered them to be a turd. How about that? How about hug a turd? How about find a way to do something helpful for someone, and then support begins because everybody's helping everybody. And then everybody wins, which brings me to the next thing about building a team. Proverbs 27:17. Now, when I show up at Man Camp, everybody's wearing the same hoodies, and I'm thinking, oh, great. This is so nerdy. I love uniformity. And then I read the back of the shirt, and it's Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So we improve each other. That's why I want accountability partners. But can we sharpen each other from a distance? I don't think so. And there's a word involved here that never really played the kind of role that I believed it should in all my years on the A team as a Green Beret. That's supposed to be elite stuff, right? It's supposed to be dynamic. There's no tighter team. Really? Are you sure? We're still human. And being human means that we're pretty selfish. We're pretty guarded. We don't want to be vulnerable. Nope. We don't want to stick our neck out because we've seen people that'll cut us. We've seen people that'll say hurtful things. And we don't want to open ourselves up to that, do we? But then we wind up paying a big price, and a big price not only in our current operation as a team, but in our success, in our resilience, and in our wellness through the years going forward. Now, this word that was missing for me, the word that's missing in so many environments, is intimacy. Intimacy. Now, I'm willing to bet that based on today's societal standards, we have been indoctrinated to think of intimacy as something sexual. It's usually a sexual reference. And I bet half you preverts thought of sex when I said the word. Well, we can relax because the definition of intimacy isn't that. It's about friendship. It's about closeness. And the reason I think that a team dynamic requires intimacy is because if we're not intimate enough to tell the truth to each other, if we're not intimate enough to be honest, then we're never going to get to the truth. We're never going to know when someone needs help. If I'm not good at something, I don't want to tell you. Why? It's because I want you to respect me. And if I admit failure, if I admit weakness, if I admit there's something I don't know, then maybe you won't respect me. And I can't afford that. So I'm not going to give you my weakness. I'm not going to tell you what's wrong. I'm not going to tell you what's missing. I'm not going to share my shortcomings with you. So that effectively means that I will spend my life like a cat in a litter box trying to hide my turd. Because I don't want you to see my weakness. I don't want you to see anything about my humanity that's less than perfect. But I can't be perfect. That's not something I could ever hold up. I'd rather be close enough that we can tell each other the truth. And if I ask you for help, if I tell you I'm not good at this, but I ought to be, would you help me? Would you take your time in your busy life to help me? Look at that, no hesitation. And I know it's the same for all of us. We want to help each other. But if I don't tell you, you're not going to know, are you? Now, if you see me in your efforts to help me get better, you see me improving, and now my confidence is following competence because I'm getting better and being better and doing better. Maybe that'll show you that there's something you need help with too. And now the culture begins to grow of honesty, of intimacy. And now iron can begin to sharpen iron because we're helping each other and we've identified the needs. And now we know each other better. We're going to depend on each other in bigger, more accurate ways. And last night it came to me that we are in Green Bay, and this is where Vince Lombardi is from, I think. And Vince Lombardi became famous in sports history for the way he coached, the way he knew people as individuals. He studied them and their capabilities. And instead of using a cookie-cutter assignment for roles on the team, he understood people's capabilities. And he designed a team based on those individual traits, characteristics, strengths, and yes, even weaknesses benefited that team. And that's what we should be doing. But until we're intimate enough to tell the truth, to be honest with one another, we're just not going to get there. And that's sad to me. I mentioned that intimacy pays dividends in life, in work, and in our future. I used to think that if you could reach retirement, then everything would be easy. All the stressors of work would be gone. No more working for the man. No more worried about anything. All the pressure would be gone. But, you know, nowadays I realize I thought the same thing in high school. If I could just graduate high school, everything would be easy. Oh, yeah, everyone will respect me. Then I'll be a grown adult. Nope. Nope. And if you can just finish college, if you can just graduate college, everyone will beat down your door offering you six-figure jobs. Did it happen? No. No. And then if you can just make it through basic training, then you'll be a warrior and everything will be easy. Oops. Big mistake. Then you go to combat and you swear, if I can just make it through this, everything will be easy. Nope. Then you get wounded. And if you can just heal up again, if you can just learn how to walk again, everything will be easy after this. Nope. It's not going to get easy. We need each other. And it doesn't pay to act like we don't. We need to be closer. We need to be close enough to understand. We need to be close enough to receive help and to be able to identify the needs of others and help them. Because when we don't, when we create space between one another, and we can't be close enough to even share emotion? Wow. And this one confuses me. Why would we not share emotion? And I'm speaking to mostly men now, because you're a bunch of turds who refuse to show emotion. Because emotion is bad. Emotion will steal your leader ethos from you. That's a lie. Throughout history, there were commanding generals witnessed beside the battlefield. They would take a knee in prayer, and they were witnessed by soldiers who shared that battlefield crying, shedding tears. And what do you think that did? Do you think these soldiers wrote in their journals about what a wuss their commander was? How weak and frail this person was? Maybe the general wasn't cut out for this. Nope. When these soldiers witnessed tears, it was a beautiful thing. It was a mark of distinction and power. And those tears, they contain the eloquence of things we can't say, especially when we feel like crying. And what other evidence did those soldiers have that general loved them? And yet we don't want to show emotion? What's the hardest thing you ever chose to do? It was the right thing. You could have taken an easy road, but you didn't. You remember what that thing was? That thing that cost you. There were consequences, and you did it anyway. Why? Why'd you do it? What were your reasons? Were they superficial? Just passing by. No, they're emotional decisions. It is emotionally based stuff that makes us human and compels us to do the right thing. Why would we try to put our emotions in a wall locker when we go to work? I could make the argument that it makes us detached and somewhat ineffective because we're not connecting. And we're never going to have the kind of intimacy we need like that. But emotions are frowned upon, aren't they? And if a man cries, what do we say about it? Oh, what a weakling. What a sissy. And among men, there were times where if I cried, oh my Lord, I had to leave the room. I couldn't let anybody see it. I couldn't let anyone know. But if you see me crying, does that mean I'm not good at my job? Does it mean that I can't fight? Have you ever been in a fight with someone who was crying first? Run away, they're going to whoop you. Yeah, they got skin in the game and we don't even know what it is. Mm-hmm. That emotion, yes, we need to manage the emotion. Yes, we need to control our emotion, but no, we can never extricate our emotions. Let's embrace those emotions because they're indicators of beautiful things. But emotion is like risk. We can mitigate it. We can manage it. We can address it. We can plan for it. But we can never eliminate risk, and we can never eliminate emotion. Let's use it to our good. Because if you're my teammate and I see you shed a tear, you know what that means to me? It means you care. And I want you on my team. I don't want people who don't care or don't know how. I want to spend time together. I want to talk about that. But maybe you're not the best one for the job. Because the ones who have detached themselves too much wind up having a lot of trouble later. And I'm losing friends to suicide. And it's horrible. It's horrible to think that the strongest people I ever witnessed in my life would take their own life. How is it happening? Yeah. There are some commonalities. And I don't think it's just for soldiers. I think it's for all of us as humans on this planet. When we lack intimacy, we wind up trying to achieve some kind of identity or reputation that's very difficult to uphold. And sometimes it takes decades to earn a reputation that we're after, a distinguished track record, right? Don't we all want that? Yeah. Well, the thing is, for any of us in any walk of life, once we've achieved that distinguished mark, that self-image, that identity that we believe others have of us, it usually doesn't involve crying, does it? It usually doesn't involve breaking down and losing it, coming apart at the seams, does it? No, our identity depends on being strong and being perceived as strong. And then that fails us. We retire, and it was supposed to get easy, but now we're becoming more emotional, and we're thinking about things we never thought about before. Now, we're enjoying a sunset, and I never thought I would enjoy a sunset. But I do now. Now I'm even starting to like children. That's a big one. I don't even like my own kid. And we're seeing things in a romantic way, in a softer way. And our perspective is, I think, a better one. And now we've got time to look back on things. And the bad stuff that happened, and for many years we drove on. We had that next objective in front of us, and we didn't have to think about it. And we wouldn't have thought about it from this perspective, but now we're reflecting a lot, and it hurts more. And among my friends that have committed suicide, I've found a common element, a common thread. I heard the same words had come from each of them. They had all said that they broke down and cried for no reason. For no reason. Really? You think about what they had been through, what they'd experienced, and they felt like it was for no reason that they might emotionally have a weak moment. I don't think it's a weak moment. I think it's a moment to be in touch. It's a moment to pay attention to. And it's a moment to share with other people who are willing and who understand or want to. But because they never had intimacy on their team, they hide the emotion. And then because they haven't dealt with it, it deals with them. And because they broke down and cried in front of people, now they feel like they've lost the identity they've worked for decades. And they would rather end their own life than live with a lesser identity. Seriously? What does it take to make us cry? I cry watching Pocahontas. I cry when I witness an act of kindness in the grocery store because it reminds me of the beautiful parts of our humanity that are worth protecting and serving. And we act like it's not okay to cry. We teach each other that. We program each other. And look, even from childhood, I don't know if this relates or not, but even from childhood, shut up or I'll give you something to cry about. Right? And Gary, I don't know where Gary is, but I actually told someone on the security team this morning to go to their room. And then Gary spoke up and said, and close the door. And it had been so long since I thought of that, but those are some dad words right there. Yeah. How about hug a turd today? How about do something nice for somebody, even if you got to go out of your way? How about do that? How about let's be honest with each other about where our needs are so they can be identified? Give someone an opportunity to help us. We don't have to die on an island alone pretending to be strong. We're strong because we're all sitting here together today. We're strong because we've chosen the right team and he's on our side. So I love you, and you're my home team. And I hope you love me too, but I want to earn that. And I want to hug a turd today too, and I can think of a few. And if you're not a hugger, you better run, because I'm light on my feet for a fat guy. So I'm honored to be with you today, and I'm honored that even when I'm not here, we're watching on TV, and we have a whole congregation in the state of Maine watching you, and it's a beautiful thing. And again, I'd be wrong if I didn't mention the music here. It is amazing. These are true artists performing for us, and they're doing it in God's name, and I feel honored to be a part of it. Thank you all. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. I think. If you do hug a turd, just make sure no one knows which one is the turd. Keep it open. We're going to have our time of communion right now. Talk about intimacy. When Jesus Christ sacrificed everything he had, he was connecting with humanity, right? His body was broken, his blood was shed so we could have the forgiveness of sins. And that's what we celebrate when we take communion. We reflect on the body and the blood of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and he broke and stuff. And Paul writes, whoever eats and drinks of the bread and the cup in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and the blood of the Lord, something you don't want to be. So he says, examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So with those words in mind, let's bow our heads as we reflect on our own hearts and minds, as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. If we've sinned against you, doing something we shouldn't have done, maybe refusing to do something that we should have done, if we haven't loved you with our whole heart, if we haven't loved our neighbors as ourselves, for the sake of your beloved Son Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we pray have mercy on us and forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings, our failures. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life, that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Well, heads are bowed and people are reflecting. Maybe you're here this morning thinking, you know, I've never really done what you guys are talking about and singing about. You can right now, in your own words, just whisper it to Jesus. Say, Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. And you can start to experience God's grace and forgiveness in your life this morning as you reach out in faith to him. Amen.